Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and, of course, your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. Here's Tass.
Thank you, Macca. Our next guest, of course, and our final guest for the morning is Emma King, the Chief Executive of the Victorian Council of Social Services. Good morning to you, Emma.
Hi, Tass. Hi, Macca. How are you?
Very well. It's been ages since I've seen you. Mind you, we haven't seen anybody for the last 6 months.
But also since we've spoken to you, too.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Great to have you back on the airwaves. Emma, we're interested in exploring with you what impact COVID-19's had on social services in Victoria. Are you able to just give us a sort of a high-level snapshot?
Yeah, sure. Look, in terms of the impact on social services in Victoria, it's been huge, partly because we look at, you know, the impact of unemployment and also obviously unemployment, but also the impact of some of the federal measures. So when we look at JobSeeker and JobKeeper, we had some people actually who were kind of lifted out of poverty for the first time when the JobSeeker rate increased, who are now heading back to community service organisations for help because their funding's been cut. And we've also got a whole lot of new people who are accessing our system for the first time because they're finding that, you know, they've lost their jobs or they're just hanging in there on JobKeeper, rates far less than before. So a huge and profound call on community sector organisations for things like food relief, really, really basic things for people who are struggling to make ends meet.
What do you think will happen as we start to sort of move into the COVID normal world? What are your expectations? I mean, we're hearing about banks beginning to tighten up on things like mortgage relief and, job seeker being reduced. So what do you expect will happen?
I think it's going to be really interesting in that COVID normal part. I think it's going to be devastating. When we look at the fact that the COVID supplement for job seekers is going to end at the end of December, unless we have an announcement in the meanwhile, JobKeeper end of March, that's devastating. So for people who are hanging in there, they're going to have pretty big losses to their current benefits, as well as the fact that we're looking at unemployment figures that, you know, really we've not seen for a very long time. And on top of those unemployment figures, we've got the people who are at the moment who are caught on JobKeeper. When that ends and they start flowing into the unemployment system, it's going to be devastating. So we've really got to balance what does that mean for our society and what does it mean for our economy and what are the things that we need to do next?
So in a sense, are you saying that some of the unemployment figures and other statistics are currently being camouflaged by this level of investment?
Yeah, absolutely. So two components of it. One is when we're looking at unemployment in Victoria, we know that, you know, more than 400,000 Victorians currently have Job Seeker on their own, and that's more than double who were receiving it before COVID. We've got over 2 million people around Australia who are on JobKeeper. We know that Victoria would be holding a pretty decent proportion of those because of the lockdown situation. Once JobKeeper ends and all those people start going on to, that what was Newstart benefit, that's a huge number of people who are going to be on unemployment benefits. And while we would anticipate that parts of the economy will pick up, other parts are going to be much slower to do so. So you think Victoria got a lot to feel excited about, and we're seeing the sort of the double donut day. That's pretty phenomenal, but gee, we've got a long way to go.
Emma, this is not meant to be a political question, but I'm interested in your reflections of the Commonwealth Government's budget and the way that that's been rolled out and what impact you think that's going to have on just ordinary workers.
Well, I think it was, to be candid, I think it was a real miss. I think as well what we're seeing is kind of the deserving and the undeserving being shown through the federal budget measures. So in terms of looking at who's already missed when it comes to job seeker and job keeper, so we're seeing people on temporary, you know, migrants on temporary visas being left altogether, you know, and particular cohorts already left out. We've seen a budget where, you know, I think women by and large have been left behind. And there's this interesting focus on young people through the sort of the wage sort of incentives that are there. But I think there's a fair bit of doubt in terms of how effective they're going to be. But basically, if you look at the budget measures, if you're over 35 and you're a woman, there's not much there for you. Mm. So there's a lot there for tax cuts. You're doing all right. You get a pretty good tax cut. If you're not, bad luck, really.
I've heard a number of federal ministers say that women also drive on roads and use transport services. And
yeah, we're lucky.
Yeah. Remember Tash, when Joe Hockey said the poor don't drive?
Actually, I found that really... I've got to say, I found those comments really offensive, and they actually put women ministers up to make those comments, which is even worse.
Who actually get driven. Not drive.
Yeah. Well, I did wonder as well how they felt about being put in the position to defend the indefensible, but putting that to the side, because it is a real miss, and I think it's really disappointing. And we want to look to our federal government for leadership. And when COVID first hit, and we actually saw, you know, Newstart that was $40 a day and hadn't been changed for 25 years, when we saw that COVID supplement come in, that was a good thing. So we needed to see more, but what we're seeing is that actually being stripped back. And it's going to have a profound and devastating impact.
Emma, in the bit of time that we've got left, what do you expect will change? What will the COVID world look like for many members of our community? What are you, not so much what are you hoping it'll happen, but what do you think will happen? What's your analysis?
Look, I think what we're going to see is more people who are either unemployed or underemployed for quite some time. I saw another analysis in the paper today around saying, you know, not expecting the economy to pick up until the end of 2021. I think that based on the current projections, we're seeing a particular impact for women in terms of, you know, again, being often placed in more precarious work, but also lower paid work more generally as well. So I think that's going to be a real issue. I think as well, when we look at some of the key issues that we were already facing, such as a lack of social housing, so, you know, public and community housing. We already had in Victoria 100,000 people who are waiting for really what is often not great housing, like more than enough people to fill the MCG. You would imagine that those numbers have increased significantly during COVID. So what I would say, though, because I don't, you know, I would hope, given that we've got the state budget coming up towards the end of this month, you know,
24th of November, really, I believe.
24th of November. So we're really hoping for some. I know you've asked me not about hope, but I can't. We really want a wellbeing budget, one that really looks at how do you put together, you know, the social and recognising that social and economic priorities are inextricably linked, and we can't separate out the two, and we have to look at the wellbeing of all Victorians. So we're very much hoping the government takes that lens. I guess there's a few key things we'd really want to see out of that in terms of looking at a significant investment in terms of looking at our, you know, big build to end homelessness would be great, as well as some incentives in there around, you know, prioritising, you know, women and women getting into work, and also, I guess, hope for our young people, knowing that wherever kids are, whether it be in early childhood or whether it be, you know, the kids who are about to sit their Year 12 exams, they're heading into a very different COVID world. You know, look at what's happened with the university fees and job prospects out there. I think, you know, we've really got to be looking more broadly around how do we, you know, create jobs, how do we create opportunities, and how do we create hope?
Mm. Emma, you know, I expect that wellbeing will be the focus of this budget, and it has to be because education services, health services, community services are all going to need to be able to buttress our community, and there's going to be a huge backlog of health work, for example, elective surgery waiting lists, etc., that will need to be dealt with. But the housing question is a really interesting one, and I have heard this now as a recurring theme. Is your mail telling you that we might expect some goodies in our public housing stock in this budget?
Well, I always like to, you know, make sure that my expectations are not and I get too disappointed, but gee, I really hope so, because you kind of sit there and think, if now, then when? because it's such a no-brainer on every front, in that we know that more and more people need housing assistance and somewhere safe and affordable to live. We've seen that real impact through people being moved into motels and knowing, well, you can't be on the streets and to be safe, etc. And that's been magnified during COVID. So there's a no-brainer way to address that, and that is to build more housing. And it's great because it gives people somewhere safe, affordable and appropriate to live, and it creates jobs. And at the risk of sounding like an episode of Utopia, it's a pipeline of jobs.
Yes.
You know, when you're looking at from architects to builders, et cetera. So I temper that at the same time that we're going, you know, they are fundamentally, they are male-dominated jobs. So there's a real importance at the same time to look at what are traditionally feminised industries and where we create opportunities for women at the same time. But, gee, I'd hope there's a big build to end homelessness. I think it's just such an incredible opportunity to do that.
Emma, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks for your work too.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. Maybe perhaps after the budget, you might come back and we might unpack the budget and see what is in for our community. Yeah. So that would be great if we can do that.
Cool.
I'd love to. Thank you again. Great to speak with you.
Yeah, likewise. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.